Welcome to this week's podcast from Free Chapel in Orange County. We hope that you enjoy this encouraging message. For more information on our church family, visit freechapel.org/OC.
If you have your Bibles, open them up with me to the book of Colossians chapter 2. And I'm also going to go to another place in Psalms 103. They'll put it up on the screens. If you don't have it, they'll put it up. And it's always an honor and privilege to be here with the Orange County family. So great to be here. For those that may be visiting, I'm not a guest. Let me just clarify that. I'm not a guest. This is family. Love you guys. This is family. And so, and I'm glad to have Shanna with me. She's here, rolling. So, it's good. Colossians chapter 2. Before we jump into this, just a couple reminders. Is this evening at 5 o'clock, we'll have our prayer and worship night. Well, I'm looking forward to being here, and I hope you'll come back and be. It's going to be a powerful time. I have one thing, only one agenda is him this evening. Can I just say this? And I know you probably, if you've streamed or watched, but there at our East Coast campuses for 12 days straight, you saw it. Revival nights we were having there, and God is just, I can't even put into words the things the Lord was doing there. And it's just mind-blowing, but it's his faithfulness, his goodness. We were streaming the services there at our Spartanburg campuses, and I tell you, it just translated in a powerful, powerful way. And from what I understand, you guys are set up for December too. I'm just telling you. We had one day planned, and it ended up being 12. And so, good luck. I don't know what that means, but we had one day planned, and it ended up being 12 days. Who knows? You might have the 12 days of Christmas. I mean, I don't know. But listen to me. I wouldn't exchange him for anything for what God did. Amen. Colossians chapter 2. Here we go. It says this in verse 6, so then just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Verse 7, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. Isn't that something? Paul said, overflowing with gratitude. In Psalms 103, beginning at verse 1, David said these words, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Do you know that as a believer, you have a benefits package? If you didn't, you do now. Here it is. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. One translation says the pit. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And I'll stop right there. If you're taking notes and you want to put a title on this, I call it being gripped with gratitude, being gripped with gratitude. In Colossians, the Apostle Paul is explaining the importance of gratitude for the believer. He talks about us being rooted and grounded and built up in Christ. The illustration is of a plant, how its roots go down into the soil and receive the nourishment and nutrients for that plant, for it to continue to flourish and grow. Likewise, as believers, it's important that we are continuing to, as Isaiah would say, put roots downward so that we can bear fruit upward. It speaks of a continual growth, a continual connection and communion and abiding in Christ. I want to tell you that when you come to faith, whether it's at an altar or a church or wherever you prayed that prayer, understand it starts there, but it doesn't stop there. That it's about relationship. It's about growing. It's about thriving in our walk with God. It's more than just one moment that we encounter or experience, but Jesus Christ has a desire to have an ongoing thought. We ought to be built up in our faith. Amen. That's why discipleship is important. That's why growing in the knowledge of His will is important, because it is the heart of God and Jesus Christ that we would not just watch this get right, but that we would continue to get well. And the only way that we continue to get well is through our connection with Him. And Paul said, when you recognize that you have this great connection, when you understand where you were and where you are now, now that Jesus has become Lord of your life, notice what it's saying, that as believers, one of the true characteristics of a believer among others is that our lives should be overflowing with gratitude. Our lives should be overflowing with appreciation. As a believer, we should be gripped with a spirit of gratitude, because we recognize and realize, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, where would I be? I want to go ahead and say, if God doesn't do anything else in your life, if there's not one more blessing, if there's not one more breakthrough, he doesn't do anything else from this day forward, I want to tell you, if you are born again, blood bought and born again, and you are a child of God, you have the greatest blessing that you could ever receive in this life. Come on, I need a bigger amen than that, because you got to recognize that your life has been saved, your life has been delivered, you've been snatched out of the clutches of the wicked one and been given eternal life. I'm gonna keep going. Understand that gratitude should be expressed in every word and in every appearance and every action of a believer. We should never forget the magnitude of the blessings we have received and the source from which they come from. Gratitude should be, the definition of gratitude is the quality of being thankful. It's an emotion expressing appreciation for what one has. It's a recognition of value independent from monetary worth. You can't put a price tag on what we have to be thankful for God for. Spontaneously generated from within, it's an affirmation of goodness. John Henry Jowett, the British preacher, put it like this: gratitude is a vaccine, an antitoxin, and an antiseptic. As a vaccine, it can prevent the invasion of a disgruntled, discouraged spirit. An antitoxin, it prevents the effects of the poisons, listen, of cynicism, criticalness, and grumbling. And as an antiseptic, a spirit of gratitude can soothe and heal the most troubled spirit. Have you ever gotten around somebody that's just so thankful and grateful? They have a tendency to change the atmosphere of a room. They have a tendency to impact those that are around them. Understand that gratitude is the recognition of the goodness of God. Psalms 136 and 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever." The old timers would say, and we've heard this statement in church, God is good. And all the time. But the reality of it is, we say that, but do we really mean it? Because God's goodness is not circumstantial or situational. God is good all the time. I put it like this, because He doesn't change. Just because things are bad, it doesn't mean that God ceases to be good. Understand that God is not good to you because you are good, but God is good to you because He is good. He was good to you when you were always being bad to Him, and some of you are still being bad. But aren't you thankful His goodness was not predicated on your goodness, but His goodness was dependent upon who He is and His own character, because He was good to you when you were never thinking about Him. He was good to you when you were still dropping it like it was hot in the club. He was good to you when you were, come on, you were sleeping and creeping and peeking and sneaking. He was still good when you was lying, cheating, and stealing. Come on. Come on, somebody. He was still good to you. You didn't think about church. You didn't think about the Bible. You could care less about Jesus, or you don't do that religious stuff. I might even have a few atheists, former atheists in here. You had nothing to do with God, but even then, he was still good. You know how I know? Because you're still alive. You're still breathing. And the scripture put it like this, that God demonstrated his goodness or his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till you get it right to go to the cross. He said, I'm gonna go to cross on credit, and I hope that you respond. Oh, you didn't hear what I just said. I died for you not knowing if you would choose me. I died for you not knowing if you would ever serve me. I died for you not knowing if you would ever set foot in my church or read my word, but I didn't do, oh, come on. It wasn't about you, but it was my heart towards you. I need 10 people to give God praise if you're thankful that he was good when you were bad. Understand that as believers, rehearsing the goodness of God is critical. It positions us to trust. Solutions may remain unseen and situations unresolved, but gratitude assures them that God is still in control. This is not a denial of reality, but a recognition that God is more powerful than our circumstances. When we open ourselves to the power of gratitude and thankfulness, it builds our faith that our Father's concern over us is always unwavering. He is the Lord thy God that changes not. That's why Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Let me tell you what he didn't say. He didn't say, give thanks for everything. There are some things that I don't thank him for bad things. But he didn't say give thanks for everything, but he said keep a spirit of gratitude in everything. And the reason why I can give thanks, come on, and notice what he said, this is the will of God. You want to know what God's will is? Gratitude. How am I supposed to respond to this situation? Give thanks. How am I supposed to navigate during this time? Give thanks. He said, my will in this thing that you may not understand, that you can't figure out, that you can't wrap your head around, what I just need you to do is keep thanking me, keep giving me glory, keep giving me praise, keep expressing gratitude. And the reason why I can do that, because I know that at some point, my God is going to cause things to work together for the good of them who are the called according to his purpose. And listen, it's only good when it comes together. The struggle is when it's in pieces. And some of y'all are in the process of pieces. You just got pieces. You don't have the whole puzzle, but you got pieces. And it's hard to praise sometimes when you only have pieces. And pieces can be painful. But I come to encourage you this morning. If you hold on to the pieces, I want to remind you that your God knows how to take the pieces and turn it into a masterpiece. And when it all comes together, come on, it's going to be good. God is not done with you yet. I need 5 people to give him praise and I'll move on. I may not understand what he's doing, but Genesis 18 says, shall not the judge of all the earth do good? I may not understand what he's doing, but I know what he's doing is good. Can I take it a little further? I may not know his plan, but I know he has a plan, because Jeremiah said, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and give you a hope and a future. I just want to put the devil on notice today that's trying to discourage, that's trying to frustrate, that's trying to aggravate. You need to know that my God is in control, and it may not look good, but he is good, and it's a matter of time before he's gonna make it good. One of the end time signs. He's going to Revelation. Nope. Let me show you something. Timothy said this. Here's signs of the time. You ready? 2 Timothy 3:2. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Listen to this. For men will be lovers. There it is. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Y'all hear that, young people? But anyway, disobedient, unthankful, and unholy. Leave it up there. Notice he said that this would mark, perilous times would come in the last days. Look at the characteristics of what would happen. Look at one of them. It's being unthankful. So in other words, they would begin to operate in this or move toward this, which can imply it wasn't always like this. So at one time, oh my God, they used to be lovers of others. Man, they only loved themselves. They used to be, watch this, givers or generosity to others, but now they're just loving money for themselves. Boasters, proud, me, myself, and I, your own Trinity. But now, oh yeah, oh, did I say that out loud? But anyway, boasters and proud and blasphemers. That word blasphemer there, even the Apostle Paul, the Bible said one of the characteristics pre-Christ of Saul, that he was a blasphemer, which he verbally abused people and talked down, dehumanized and degrade them and run them in the ground as if they have no value or purpose to God. This will, and boy, if you ever on social media, it's, I'm just, anyway, but disobedience, unthankful, and unholy. What I'm trying to get you to see, if that is the characteristics of the world or the way it's shifting in the time, the church has to be the exact opposite. Oh, I said the church, the body of Christ. We got to be lovers of people. We got to be generous people. We got to be honorable. We got to be walk in humility. And if we're going to boast and we're going to be proud, we're going to boast in Jesus Christ, like Paul said. We're going to brag on Jesus. And kids, you're going to obey your parents. And we're going to be a people that's gratitude, full of gratitude, and walk in holiness. Now stay with me. What you don't take with gratitude, you will eventually take for granted. Do you take your marriage with gratitude? Do you take your wife with gratitude? Do you take your husband with gratitude? Do you take your children with gratitude? What you don't take with gratitude, you'll eventually take it for granted. Do you take this church with gratitude? Do you take the house of God with gratitude? Come on, do you take your health with gratitude? What you don't take with gratitude, eventually you'll take for granted. And it's important that we must overflow, as Paul said, with gratitude. Now, let me give you this real quick. See, your praise must be gripped with gratitude. Psalms 92:1 says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to your name, O Most High. Oh, can I just preach on that a little bit? Your praise has to be gripped with gratitude. And let me say something about praise. Understand that what we just had was not just the slots that we fill service with some action. The reason why we have praise and worship, the reason why we have a worship and prayer night tonight, it's not about us. It's not about a program. It's not necessarily about a service flow. It's about Him. And let me just get here. When it talks about being your praise gripped with gratitude, it's vocal. Yeah, that's right. The Bible says a voice of thanksgiving. Your thanksgiving should have a voice. In other words, I don't think praise. I praise Him to myself. You know, because I'm sick and tired. Yeah, I said it. I'm sick and tired of when stalemate, supposed to be saints, look at people who are very boisterous and excited about praising their God, and honoring their God, that's sensationalism. That's a little bit extreme. And I'm not talking about crazy. All things should be done in decency and order. But when, if you lift your hands, if you stand on your feet, if you shout and praise your God, and matter of fact, if you take off running every now and then you're crazy, you're a fanatic, you're sensational. That's just emotionalism. It doesn't take all that. When was the last time? Listen, the Bible said David was dancing butt naked before the Lord. David was, oh, you don't want me to preach in here? You don't want me to preach? And the only problem, God didn't have a problem with it, but his wife did. And as a result, she was barren. She stopped birthing because she got mad at a praiser. Uh-oh. All I'm trying to say, I'm just not very outspoken. No, you're not obedient. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. You're not silent at the Dodgers game. You're not silent up in Anaheim with the Angels. You're not silent with the Ducks. You're not silent with the Bruins. You're not silent with the Trojans. You're not silent with the Chargers. You're not silent with the Rams. But you're going to come up in here with your sanctified self and sit down on Jesus. The devil is a lie. None of them hung on a cross. None of them shed their blood for me. None of them gave their life for me. I'm gonna give Jesus my best praise, the one who paid it all. I give him glory today. Your breakthrough might just be in your praise today. Your next level just might be in your praise today. We have to learn. It's a voice of thanksgiving. Let me say this. This is where David got. In Psalms 103, David said, I got to regain my grip on gratitude. In a moment of difficulty, David paused to remind himself. He said, wait a minute. God's been good to me. Wait a minute. I'm losing my grip on gratitude. And David had to begin to talk to himself. He had to encourage himself. In other words, David said, I can sit here, my Lord, and count my problems, or I can count my blessings. Oh, God. I can count the problems and go crazy, or I can count my blessings. And David said he began to have to talk to himself. Do you know sometimes you got to talk to yourself? You really do. You won't be diagnosed with anything. You just talk to yourself. Sometimes you just it'll just happen. Because David, watch this. I'm going to give you an example of David. There was one time that God sent Jonathan into the wilderness where David was. And the scripture said he encouraged himself. He encouraged David in the things of the Lord. But then when David got to Ziklag, the Bible said that he had to encourage himself because everybody around him was disgruntled and complaining and murmuring. Matter of fact, they spake, King James, of stoning David. But the Bible said he encouraged himself. And this is what he's doing in this psalm. He's telling himself, he's speaking to his soul. Come on, my soul. Don't you get quiet on me. God's been good to us. God's been faithful to us. And he said, you're going to bless the Lord. Oh, let me just go ahead and break it down and get out of your way. He said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Notice he said, all that is within me, which David understood that I can, watch this, I can praise within, or I can just praise without. But the goal is to praise with all. What do you mean, Javon? He said, bless us in all that is within me. Because some people only praise without, and they're not really praising from within. Just because your hand's up don't mean you're praising from within. Just because you rock don't mean you're praising from within. Just because you watch this, even open up your mouth and repeat the words, I'm messing with you now, doesn't mean that your praise is from within. It could be external. external action without internal connection. And I'll give you scripture for it. Jesus looked at the religious folk of his day and said, you honor me with your mouth, you worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You got an external show of religion, but you're void of relationship on the inside. But I dare to believe that I came to a church this morning that said I tried that old dead religious external stuff. But the praise I want to give to my God is one that comes from deep within. I'm going to worship him in spirit and in truth. Where are the true praisers at Free Chapel Orange County? Where are those that said he's been too good to me for me to just go through the motions of church? And he said, how blessed in all that is within me. And notice what he said. And he said, and forget, oh Lord, not all his benefits. I'm going to give you this really quick. Forget not all of his benefits. That word benefit, this is awesome. Found this in study. That word benefit is actually a word that was translated. Watch this. And one of the translation was, it was implied a camel, or the picture of a camel. A camel was a means of transportation in desert times, in dry times. They would load the camels up in those Middle Eastern times, and it was the means of transportation of traveling through and carrying their goods through the hot, dry desert to get them to their destination. And when David said, forget not all of his benefits, he said, when you start remembering the benefits, my God, your benefits is your camel. Mm-mm-mm. Remembering and showing gratitude for what God has done, it becomes the camel that gets you through the dry times and the tough times and the heated times of life that seemingly would hold you back and keep you. When I get in a dry season and a tough season, the worst thing that I could do is shut my mouth and get silent. But the greatest thing that I could do is begin to say, God, I give you glory. I give you praise. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your greatness. I thank you for your salvation. I thank you that you're my provider. I thank you that you're my source. I thank you that you're my strength. I thank you that you're my way maker. I thank you that you're my promise keeper. I thank you that you're my miracle worker. I thank you. I thank you. And it said it becomes the vehicle that transports me through my dry season, that I don't die before my destination. He said, forget not all your benefits. The problem sometimes, we get fruitful and we get forgetful. God told Israel in Deuteronomy, he said, when I bring you out, when I put you into this wealthy place, you start eating good. Yeah, you start eating real good. Blessings are flowing. Provisions being made. And he said, don't you forget about me. That it was me that brought you out of Egypt. It was me that has prospered you. And it's a sad thing because it happens in church. I am amazed when some people didn't have nothing, you couldn't keep them out of the church. Calling the church. Can I come today? Can I come? Come to do what? I just need to be there. I just need to be there. I just need to be there. I just want to go sit in a sanctuary and just worship God. But I just want to be. I tell them they cry, and there's nothing wrong with that. But yet, when you come out of that place and God begins to bless, now you're too blessed to come. Now we're too fruitful to be faithful. I'm not being ugly, but I'm just saying this is the stuff we have to guard, that now I'm so blessed, I can't be a blessing no more. Well, I couldn't possibly help to do any of that great work. That's that work. That tithe is a lot. But the key is when you sit back and say, sometimes, oh God, I gotta be like that leper. There were 10 of them that were cleansed, and only one come back. And the scripture said this. Jesus said, were they not nine? Wait a minute, I blessed more than that. I cleansed more than that. Where are the other nine? This is what blows my mind. Jesus said this. He said, and this one is a Samaritan. And then he goes on to say, and this one, read your Bible. He said, and this one was a foreigner. You know what? You know what he was implying? Could it be that the people who I'm in covenant with don't even get it, but I got people outside of my cup that get it. There's more. Oh my. Okay, you're missing it, because there's more people come on, somebody. These people wasn't even in covenant, but they understood the power of gratitude. How is it that we're in covenant and we come on, somebody, and we lose it? There were people. Come on, somebody. How can the world have more gratitude than the church? How can the world be more generous than the church? How can the world be more grateful? It's not supposed to be that way. And the scripture said he came back. Could it be that nine, they got fruitful and they got forgetful? Those nine forgot what it felt like to itch. They forgot that had he not saved me, had he not delivered me, had he not intervened, had his mercies not stepped in, because what should have happened didn't happen because of his goodness. What could have happened didn't happen because his goodness. And that's something that grips me all the time. All I got to think back is to that one moment that God set me free and broke the chains off of my life. All I got to do is just stop one moment and remember that the gun didn't go off, the drugs didn't kill me, it didn't take me out, the wrecks, the gang banging, and all the other crap didn't send me to hell. All I got to do is just think one time about it, and I come back and say, Lord, thank you. If you never do anything ever again in my life, if you never bless me, if you never give me anything else, if you never move another mountain, if you never raise another valley, I don't have to preach another sermon. I don't have to stand on a platform. I'm so grateful for what you've done right now. I give you all the glory. I refuse to come back with empty praise. Stay standing. Because that's why it touched me, what David said. I hadn't forgot that he forgave my iniquities. Listen to what he said. I forgive all your iniquities. I didn't partially forgive you. I didn't partially cover you. I fully forgave you. He told the sinful woman, though your sins are many, I fully forgive you. I am he that blots out your transgression and remember them no more for my own sake. And he said, this is what gripped me about it. I healed all your diseases. Anybody been healed in this room? Anybody been healed? Oh, healed all of your diseases. Watch this. Healed all your diseases. Because sometimes it's not physical. It could be in your soul. Healed from depression. Healed from bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment. Healed from torment in your mind. All of my diseases that the devil tried to destroy me from. Come on, somebody. The darkness and the oppression. I healed on the heel of all your diseases. I don't know, I'm preaching to myself. I redeemed your life from destruction. You were done, you were finished, you were washed up according to the natural, according to your circumstance and your situation. Even the doctors and the professionals said it was over. But that word says, who redeem your life from destruction. I love the word redeem because it means to buy back. It was a term that was used to buy back slaves that were in bondage, but they were bought back to be brought into freedom. And the Bible said without the that we were are redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the only currency that was acceptable to release us from the bondage of sin and, oh God, and destruction was the blood of Jesus. It was the currency of deliverance and freedom that Christ paid himself that we could be bought back from the enemy out of darkness into his marvelous light. Are you hearing me today? I feel the anointing of God. And the thing about redeem, it means to buy back. Because what I love about Jesus, I don't believe Jesus always shopped on the showroom floor. But I believe Jesus had a tendency to find that place in the department store that was marked down a little bit, that had some cuts, some scratch. A wheel was missing. A knob was missing. There was a scratch on one side. And the sign said, discounted price. Watch this. Purchase as is. Because that's what redemption mean. That when he bought you, come on, you wasn't showroom material. I don't care what your fan, no. You wasn't show, I don't care how good you look on that. You, when you were unsaved, you were not showroom material. You wasn't at the front of the store. You was in a back corner somewhere with a reduced price. But when Jesus stepped in and said, I'll buy them as they are, cracks and all, brokenness and all, dysfunction and all, hurt and all. You know why? He buys you as is because he knows what he can make you become. He knows I can read.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. To watch our latest message, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Free Chapel OC.